Today's broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the Sunday service of September 9th, 2018. It is sponsored by Jim Dislin. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Truly free to live their lives in the cut to our first reading.
A reading from Psalm, the 146th chapter. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord of their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bound down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
Our Holy Gospel is from Mark, the 6th chapter, and we all say, Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that's been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And then he went about among the villages teaching. Here ends our gospel. Together we say, Thanks be to God.
Well, as we have seen here, this is the kickoff week. We're kicking things off in a lot of different ways. You can have a little bit of fun making that video. And I have to say, I'm so excited to kick off this year here at Holy Trinity. There's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of meaningful, big commission opportunities throughout the year. So thanks for kicking it off. I want to tell you a quick story. A couple years ago, I had a chance to meet Adam Thielen. So Adam Thielen, he's the kind of Minnesota hero of the Vikings. He's the guy who, the Mankato State grad, he got the chance to try out for the Vikings, made it under the practice squad, and he worked his tail off, and he worked his way onto the team, started with special teams, and he blocked the punt, ran back to touchdown, and then people were noticing him, and then he got shot as a wide receiver, and then he started lining up, and then he Pro Bowler, got a big contract. He's a hometown hero from Detroit Lakes. And he was actually speaking at a Christian breakfast event, and I got to go to this event, and I kind of have a, it's kind of a little piece of my story. I like to kind of sneak my way into meeting Minnesota Vikings receivers. So after the event, I found him and I met him. Not in a creepy way. He was meeting people. But anyway, I had a chance to talk to him just for a quick minutes, and it was a brief encounter, but at the time I was working in a church in Alexandria. Now, Alexandria is kind of close to Detroit Lakes, which is his hometown, so I had an idea. I was like, his hometown's Detroit Lakes. Alexandria's not that far. Wouldn't it be cool? He's a good Christian guy, works hard, good role model. Wouldn't it be cool if he came and spoke at the church? We could fill the church with, like, number 19 jerseys. Adam Thielen, people would come and they wouldn't necessarily have a affiliation with the church, but they'd be excited to meet Thielen and it'd be a great evangelizing opportunity and the whole bit. So I was like, you know what? I might just ask him. I might see if he'd be open to coming. And so as we were talking, I thought, shoot, I'll be brave. And what do you think about coming up to Alexander sometime to speak? He said, absolutely, that'd be great. Well, the story kind of ends there. I didn't fall through. Sorry, but anyways, he said it could go in some time, but anyway. But I saw that he actually went back up to Detroit Lakes this past summer, right? He probably done a number of times. But he spoke at this big charity event. And kind of like I figured it would have been in Alexandria, there were a lot of people gathered, a lot of them were 19 jerseys, just the place was packed with adoring fans of Adam Thielen, and all these people were just zoned in, hearing anything he had to say. It was his hometown, and the people received him with warmth and joy and excitement. He was surrounded by hundreds of adoring fans. Well, today we read a Bible passage about a different homecoming story. By this time in his journey, Jesus had been doing a lot of miracles. He'd been gaining height. He had been healing people. He'd been teaching a lot of things. He'd been even calming the storm, and people were noticing him. And now he's headed back to his hometown, Nazareth. Right? And you'd expect him to be received with a whole group of people wearing their Jesus jerseys. Here in their hometown hero go out and do wonderful things, but it turns out that people expected him to still be a certain way, to still act a certain way, and to still be associated with a certain kind of people. But by now, Jesus didn't fit into their box. And so rather than receiving him with high regard, they received him with rejection. Well, as we kick off this new year, today we're going to talk about the difference between being a fan and a follower. And as a church, we try to figure out how to do the best we can is to create Christian space where we can honor the calling of Jesus the best we can, right? How we can be the church. And what I want to say is that when we talk about the difference between being a fan or a follower, it would be a lot easier for us just to create the best Jesus fan club we could. Because we know what being a fan is, right? Whether you're a fan of Adam Thielen or Taylor Swift or the Beach Boys or whatever it may be, we know what being a fan is. Because we know what it's like to pay big bucks to go to a big entertaining event, have this wonderful kind of emotional high kind of experience, but then we get back to our lives. And if the church was all about creating Jesus fans, all we'd have to do is just have a great spiritual experience. We put on our cross necklaces and such, listen to the Bible story today, and then get back to business and see people. But folks, what the church exists for, what makes the church different is that we're not about making fans. We're about making followers. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus isn't looking for fans. Jesus is looking for followers. And that's why Jesus wasn't received in his hometown like Adam Thielen is. Another term for a follower is a disciple. By definition, a disciple is one who isn't just passively watching and running from a distance. A disciple is actively imitating the actions of a teacher or a leader. So if we take that seriously, when we read these stories of Jesus, being a Jesus follower isn't comfortable. Doesn't always make things easier for us. In fact, sometimes it makes things more difficult. I'll tell you about the early church. The early church knew the risk it was to be a follower of Jesus. In the first couple hundred years of Christianity, being a Jesus follower literally meant risking your life. Because it meant that you would go on record as being one who didn't conform to the cultural expectations. Because if you didn't worship other gods like everyone else did, people noticed and you could get in trouble for it. The earliest Christians were ridiculed. They were excluded from circles of influence and business and churches. Because of this, they had to meet in secret. They didn't meet in sanctuaries or just church buildings or just bigger ones. In fact, they met in homes in secret. And even when one was baptized, it wasn't around a font like this. Holmes had a separate room. Some homes had a separate room, which was a room for baptism. It was a literal coffin-shaped bathtub where the symbolism was, as you were baptized, you were literally joined to the death and resurrection of Christ. That's why the tomb, or the baptism font, was in the shape of coffin, because it very well could be that you too would have to be a Christian. Being a Christian was risky business. Well, a few hundred years later, under Constantine's leadership, Christianity became legalized, and religion of the government, it was no longer risky like that anymore. Some of these faiths started to become a spectacle. The church became more and more secularized, and the realization of the costliness of being a Christian gradually faded away. So being a Christian, it's no big deal. Well, this week I've been reading this little book. It's a little old book, but it's a gem. It's The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, lived in Germany during World War II. Because he resisted the Nazi dictatorship and treatment of Jews, Bonhoeffer was imprisoned and thrown into a Nazi concentration camp. Because he resisted the way in which Nazi dictatorship treated Jews as a Christian, he was thrown into a concentration camp before being executed himself. Bonhoeffer resisted because of his Christian faith. He couldn't just sit back and watch when his faith called him to do something more. So he wrote in this. He said, cheap grace, which is where our litany comes from today, it's all from here. He says, cheap grace is when my only duty as a Christian is to leave the world for an hour or so on a Sunday morning. Oh, we got another quick. Cheap grace is when my only duty as a Christian is to leave the world for an hour or so on a Sunday morning and go to church to be assured that my sins are all forgiven. I need no longer try to follow Christ. For cheap grace, the bitterest fall of discipleship. That's pretty neat, by the way. In other words, I can do anything I want because, heck, I'll be forgiven anyway. Well, folks, as we begin this new year of ministry, I think it's important whether we're thoroughbred Lutherans or new Lutherans or denominational hybrids of some sort, that we recognize that we need to put grace and discipleship together. They go hand in hand. Grace, God's unconditional love for us, needs to be married with our intentional efforts to follow Him. Grace and discipleship. And as we seek to follow Him, as we see in the Bible, He will lead us to uncomfortable places, right? Because Jesus goes across the aisle. Jesus crossed the aisle to meet with sinners and tax collectors, Samaritans and heaven forbid even women. Jesus cared less about the accumulation of wealth and greed and more about serving those in need. In fact, Jesus was brave enough to seek peace instead of harm with those who hated Him, and calling others to love their enemies as well. Well, Bonhoeffers and Lutherans have left the following of Christ to more legalistic types, but I think Lutherans have a lot to offer when we talk about discipleship. So hear me out just as quickly. This is my hypothesis. Because being a follower, we try to be a follower. As I hear the word follower, to me, that means got a certain element of humility, right? Because if we're a follower, we need grace to recognize we have things yet to learn. We all have things yet to learn. Being a follower means we haven't yet arrived, but we're going somewhere. We're on a journey. We have work to do. It means we aren't the leader of that because Jesus is. Being a follower of Jesus, though, means you're not always going to be welcome home like Adam Thielen. Because there will be times when we experience rejection. Because we no longer match what others expect us to be. In fact, I just sometimes wonder if it wouldn't just be easier sometimes to just be a fan. I'm going to end with this quote because I like this. It kind of balances out the earlier quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He says this: if we answer the call to discipleship, where will it lead us? To answer this question, we shall have to go to Jesus, for only He knows the answer. Only Jesus Christ, who bids us follow Him, knows the journey. But we do know that it will be a road of boundless mercy. The discipleship means joy. Discipleship means joy. Well, folks of Holy Trinity, I don't believe being a follower of Jesus is easier or comfortable, but I do believe there's merit to the statement that discipleship leads to joy. As Jesus said, for those who want to save their life, lose it. Those who lose their life, for my sake, find it. And as we kick off this 2018 year, may God grant us this joy as we strive to follow. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for everybody who's in this room, for everybody who is down the hallway, either cleaning up the kitchen or learning about you and Paul's place for your time. God, I pray that this year, that Holy Trinity may be an encouraging year, a supportive year for us as we journey in this life of faith, but it can also stretch us, challenge us to take it seriously as we seek to follow you. So guide us and lead us, all the while embracing us as we are, not as we feel like we should. In Jesus' name we pray.
You are my heart, we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
As you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ was with you. He go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, above you watching over you, beside you to befriend you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's join together in the final song. May we go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.